I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to Molly Baucom from her CD Made on the Shore. Find out more about her music at harpermolly.com. Welcome to the start of the summer season of Stage and Studio, and it's an important topic today, safety in theater. Most of the time when you talk about suffering for your art, you're talking about the lack of pay or the amount of hours you spend on your labor of love, and the only physical pain might be from a sprained ankle like I had from, you know, when you exited the stage, or from a long rehearsal and fatigue. But on June 8th, the Chicago Reader posted a lengthy article about a year-long investigation into a 20-year history of sexual harassment and physical abuse at Profiles Theater in Chicago. That article sent shockwaves not only to the Chicago theater community, but across the country. As theater becomes more realistic and a desire for gritty drama grows, just how far can they go, and how can non-union actors, especially women, protect themselves? At Profiles Theater in Chicago, women were actually getting hurt as part of the play. So how far is too far? And what can we do about it? Today we talk with three theater professionals about keeping safe in theater. Stay tuned. This is a special Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio are Kristen Munn. Hello.
Hello.
She's a stage manager and a Drammy Award-winning fight choreographer in Portland theaters. And Jane Vogel. Hello.
Hello.
It's good to have you back, founder and board president of Age and Gender Equity in the Arts, a group that promotes more representation for women in theater and women theater artists in Portland. So it's good to have you back, Jane.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And with us via phone is Laura T. Fisher. Laura, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes. You might want to get closer to your phone. Now, she's the coordinator of the Chicago Code of Conduct for Not in Our House, and also an advocacy group for non-union theaters in Chicago. So I want to welcome all of you to Stage and Studio. Welcome to Laura, too. Hello.
Hi.
So let's start off with Laura to get some background. See, all of us read here in Portland, a lot of us, especially women, read this article about Profiles Theater in Chicago, and it was titled, "At Profiles Theater, the Drama and Abuse is Real." Now, Laura, you're a 30-year veteran of Chicago theater, and was there ever any whispers or talk? I mean, was there any kind of inkling about the harassment and physical abuse that women were undergoing at that particular theater?
Well, I think that there had been some rumors that had floated around for as many as 20 years.
Wow.
Coming out of that theater. But, you know, the allegations as chronicled in the Reader are serious. And it's a matter of legality, how people can respond
right
to rumors. You can't just respond to rumors in any organization. So I think the Reader did a responsible and very thorough job of talking to the people who had been directly affected by the culture there, and now we have a record of what happened.
Well, what about that theater, you know, what is it about the theater community that made it difficult for women who were abused to speak up? You talked about the legalities, but what were some of the, I guess, the structural aspects of that that made it difficult to make this known?
Well, I want to be very clear to say that the kind of allegations that were coming out of Profiles Theater are not don't characterize our Chicago theater community. I think that the culture there was extreme and does not represent how things usually happen in Chicago. This is what I will say. These kinds of allegations are do pop up from time to time. I think that we have a business where we do put ourselves on the line physically and emotionally. And at Not in Our House, we seek to both prevent such things from happening, and when and if they do happen, to have a way to respond to them.
Well, it should be noted that Profiles Theater in Chicago closed its doors less than a week after the Reader article. And one of the more important outcries did come from Not in Our House in an open letter. Did you draft that right away after reading that? Did you know about the article ahead of time?
Well, we knew that the article was being worked on, But I personally did not draft the open letter, but I know that the open letter was in hopes, if Profiles hadn't closed their doors when they did, it was to seek a response from Profiles from their staff or board of directors, a response and or apology to the allegations made in the article.
Because there was a series of women. It wasn't just one or two. There was a series of this kind of systematic abuse in a 20-year period.
Yeah.
Well, so what you have done, though, and I think you're one of the co-writers of the Code of Conduct for non-union theater artists, and this was done by Not In Our House and you. Why is it important for non-union actors and theater artists to have this kind of Code of Conduct, and how is it different from, I guess, not having one?
Well, I think any time there's a group of people together, whoever's coordinating the group has a right to have rules that they set up that are followed under their roof, thus not in our house. So if you have a party at your house and you say, we don't want drugs or alcohol at our house, those are rules that you set forth that you ask for your participants and visitors to go by. So it's really no different from that. The reason why it's important for non-equity theaters in particular to be able to have a code of conduct or a set of rules is because they currently really don't have one. And we were answering a call back over a year ago when we first started talking about these issues. We held an open forum for the Chicago theater community. And I pitched the idea to the non-equity community to say, what would you think about developing such a thing? At the time, I didn't really know what it would entail, how it would be done, but I saw the need. I responded to it as a member of my community and started pulling together companies that were interested in doing such a thing, and we put together 10 companies. And we all have a deep level of experience in our community, at our craft, with our audiences, and so we had the experience in the room to document the kind of rules some of us already know from working in the business, and so that we could actually document what the expectations are, and if they're not met, what happens.
So what is some of the language regarding harassment and abuse in the workplace?
Well, one of the things to do is, in writing a code of conduct, is to try to set down what boundaries are and how to respond to them. When in a theater production, if there is, for example, fight choreography is serious by nature, by definition, whether you're using weapons or punching or hitting, and that is staged. It's not real. And so if you have, for example, sexual choreography, there is an understanding, if it's a professional environment, that is not real. It is staged. So it's good to lay down safeguards for making sure that it doesn't turn into a harassment situation. Or if someone is going off of the choreography, that it can be documented by a stage manager. And then if somebody is going off choreography and might lean into something that could be categorized as sexual harassment on stage, a stage manager can compare what happened on stage to the notes they've taken on that choreography and address it with those actors. If it's something that happens off stage, a person in power pressuring somebody in a lower status level for sexual behavior, that would come under what we sort of understand in any work environment as sexual harassment. And if it's criminal, for example, it would be responded to by getting the police involved, of course.
Well, it seems like you've laid that all out, and that would seem to make sense for a lot of people. But in a lot of theater communities and a lot of cities, I don't know that there is that kind of code of conduct. So I urge people listening, especially theater artists who want to see the open letter to the Chicago Reader and the code of conduct for non-union theater artists, visit notinourhouse.org, because it's a pretty substantive document, the code of conduct. So kudos to you for developing that.
Thank you. It's a 25-page document.
Wow.
It will go, we are now in a pilot program where we're taking a year to really vet the document to see where edits need to be made, where there are where we've missed some things, where we've overwritten some things, where things can become more clear. We've got nearly 20 theaters participating, putting it into practice in their theaters, and then coming together for meetings to determine what's working, what's not, what we can improve on. And we're hoping that after a year of testing the document, we can publish it and welcome anybody from anywhere in the country to just download it and use the document in their own organization.
Well, that's incredibly valuable, so I commend you for that service.
Thank you.
Look forward to it, and we'll be visiting notinourhouse.org. And I have that link at stageandstudio.org, too. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, Laura T. Fisher. We have much to discuss here in Portland.
Thanks for inviting me, Dime.
And thank you for joining us, and kudos for all your work. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
So that was Laura T. Fisher, who is working with Not In Our House in Chicago. You're listening to Stage and Studio. My guests in studio are Kristen Munn and Jane Vogel. And our topic is safety for women in theater, theater artists. And I have to say, Kristen, I first became aware of the Chicago Profiles Theater abuse allegations after seeing actually a TV news story about you offering to conduct free physical safety workshops for women. And tied to that, I think, was the article about the Chicago Profiles Theater. Was that your response to the article after reading that?
Yeah, because it's one of those things where, like, reading the article was so difficult, especially because it dealt with physical violence in the theater.
And you're the fight choreographer and a stage manager.
Right. So, safety in the theater is a high priority for me. And reading that article, it was very frustrating, and I can't imagine all of the things that they had to deal with over at Profile Theater.
Yeah, it was physical violence, and the fight choreography went off the rails.
It was also psychological manipulation as well. So yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of times that there's not many things that I can do. But knowledge and information is something that I can provide.
Well, you know, as a fight choreographer, you know, Laura kind of laid out that there were, you know, there's fight choreography. There's also sexual choreography.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times lines do get blurred a lot. So it's the job of the fight choreographer to make sure there's no blurring.
Right.
This is a play.
Right.
Right. And also for the stage manager to keep everybody on task.
I've actually done several shows where, like, you know, you have to deal with, like, physicality in many different ways, not just through fights, you know, but then having the knowledge of, like, what's safe and how do I communicate and, you know, this is what I'm comfortable with is a part of my job. You know, it's a part of the reason why I step in the room is because people are uncomfortable. And then, you know, we work together to find, like, a comfortable place where we can tell a story, you know, effectively and realistically while keeping everyone safe and comfortable.
Well, so in some ways, the title fight choreographer isn't quite exact, is it? It's more like whatever makes you uncomfortable physically, I will work it out.
Right. I mean, I've been a movement choreographer. I've been, was what my friend Matt Pavick likes to call it, a violence designer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to give a shout out before we run out of time of the workshops. July 2nd, 2:30 to 4:30, Laurelhurst Park. July 3rd, 10 a.m. to 12 noon at Irving Park. And these are all free, by the way. July 9th at 4 to 6 p.m., Stage Combat Workshop, Dealing with Conflict on Stage and Off. And that's at Concordia University. And you do have to register for that. And I have all that links at stageandstudio.org. I'm especially drawn, though, to the description about it's a safe place, a safe space to train, but also to discuss the ethics and strategies of onstage violence. So has there ever been a time when you feel like the violence is too much? You know, the what is wanted from the actors is too much.
I think the important thing to remember is that everybody is different. You know, like when I step into a room, I am choreographing for people who are not my size, who are not my physicality, who do not have my experience. And so the way that I communicate with my actors and like my fighters is a way that I can understand where they're coming from. You know, because sometimes in the theater, like, you know, you have to do a push, you have to do a shove, you have to do a punch. And to communicate how that makes you feel physically, right, is very important. And something that might feel really hard for me doesn't feel like you're putting a lot of effort in for you. So I have to do that communication every single time I step into the room. And a part of this workshop is giving women the tools to also have that communication, you know, because I don't always walk into a room and everyone listens to me right away. You know, I mean, it's just a part of like being a working professional. Everyone has different ideas. Everyone works differently. Everyone moves differently. And my job is to figure out how you're moving, how you're feeling. And so I want to give women the tools so that when they walk into a room, they're able to say, hey, this isn't making me feel comfortable, and this way does.
It's almost like, especially for playwrights writing violence in plays, to think about some of these issues for the actors, right, too. Because even the photo of the fight choreography,
right,
there was a photo that I posted about, had a man had his hands on a woman's throat.
Mm-hmm.
That triggered some things for some folks, and they wrote to me about that.
Right.
So you have to think about the actresses, too, who have been, more women have experienced violence than most people think about,
right,
you know?
Right.
So how does that affect when you're choreographing? Oh, we're just doing a play. Right.
Yeah. And it is the fight choreographer's job to sort of bring the reality of the storytelling to life, you know?
Well, I want to get Jane on this discussion. Jane Vogel, you founded Age and Gender Equity in the Arts as a way to address inequity in representation of women in theater. And congrats on awarding the first Age Award at the Drammies last night. That's
Thank
awesome.
You.
Coho Theater and Profile Theater in Portland got it.
The Good Profile Theater.
The Good
Theater.
Profile. Well, that other one's Profiles in Chicago. So Age and Gender Equity in the Arts does a great deal of advocacy for women in theater. What's your organization's response to what we've been talking about and harassment and abusive situations for women in theater? Do you have, you know, any ideas or, you know, statements you want to make regarding that?
Oh, absolutely. Because as much as the situation in Chicago is an extreme situation, just like the Orlando situation is an extreme situation, these are all part of a problem that is inherent in the culture, and we're all on the spectrum somewhere. And in terms of violence and women not having a voice, this is something that is an epidemic, and we have to be working on it. We did in our first year's Age Awards, we did ask theater applicants to talk about how they address violence in the workplace and on stage. And we asked that in interviews with the semifinalists. And one of the things that we're going to look at for next year is requiring applicants to have a written policy, because many of the theaters have a belief that because their leadership is respectful, that they are very open to safety in the workplace, that is enough. And it is not enough. It is not enough to base policy on personality. And when this is an epidemic, if we look at the statistics of violence against women, and violence occurs against men too, and how it is a part of our culture that women don't have a voice, that there are serious consequences. And many of those consequences are so insidious and covert that a woman doesn't speak out on an extreme situation because she fears for her life. She also fears for her job.
Well, I was going to say that a lot of times you can be branded as difficult,
Absolutely. You
know, just for speaking up.
Absolutely. Right? And because there are so few roles for women, when you speak up, there are many other women to take your place.
Exactly, because there's so few roles,
yes.
And that's one of the things Age wants to change,
that's
Age and
right.
Gender Equity in the Arts. You know, Jane, you have a PhD in psychology.
I do.
So you have worked as a mental health professional. How can theaters provide, I guess, a safe and abusive-free situation for theater artists, especially when you're working on this kind of material?
Well, let me start by saying that I do wear rose-colored glasses, and I want to say that because the response to your question is that I don't feel that there is a foolproof way. Abuse is a result of power differential, and it exists in our culture, it exists in our theater. And right now, It's going to take a long time, if ever, for us to really have that utopian balance of power. And until that happens, we need to start with written policies, and then we need to all be working on making sure that we are aware of what our privilege is, what our position of power is, and to be looking at it in a multifaceted way. When you talk about the violence on stage, there is a lot of gratuitous violence in our art, and we have a resistance to looking at this. Our immediate response is, are we going to tie the hand of the artist? Are we going to go into censorship? I am so opposed to all of that. But we do have to be aware that there's more that we don't know than do know in terms of our own behavior. There's a lot of unconscious bias that's going on. There's, you know, a lot of blind spots around our own privilege.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because it does seem like, you know, there's that fine line when, you know, you're having all these plays that are so gritty and dramatic, right? And then a lot of the times the violence is on women. I'm just thinking in terms of just a stage slap. Mm-hmm. That in of itself is a difficult, I've had to do that mm-hmm. as an actor, and that's a difficult thing to even have somebody slap your face, right. Frankly. So why do writers write that, you know? You know, so I think you're right. The responsibility is in that whole chain of collaborators, right? The whole chain and the structure, yes, of how you can't, like, say, no, can we rewrite this or can we not do this? Kristen, have you ever had somebody say, I can't do this particular thing?
Sort of.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and one of the reasons why I feel like I want to do more workshops and I want more people to have education in stage combat is because a lot of the times when I've recognized that an actor or actress can't physically do, you know, or they're uncomfortable, they usually don't say anything. And I'm the person who is like, you know what, let's just change this. You know,
so you sense that.
Yeah. You know, and that's the hard part, is because it's like reading the article, you know, like Jane said, was an extreme situation of it. But I do see it, you know, like as a violence person, like
you
a
do
violence
see that? Design,
yeah. You know, but people, you know, men and women are afraid to say anything.
Well, yeah. And if you're in a show, too, I've had actors like really get into what they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
So how do you monitor that?
Right. Yeah, and like,
that's my question. How do you monitor that?
I mean, I think it's a lot of education, you know, like you know, as a stage manager, I already have that education because I am a fight choreographer, you know, but like just knowing how like to move physically, knowing how to do it safely, knowing that there's other options, I think is so important, you know, but like keeping each other safe. What I'm hoping is that like we'll just if we can just spread the knowledge of like how to keep each other safe, setting policies, doing things like that, having a standard for our theater in Portland, you know, then that way we can watch each other's backs is what I'm hoping.
Well, in some ways, Jane, I feel like, you know, you're having theaters write about some kind of policy regarding, was it violence and treatment of women? Why not make that for everybody? You know,
absolutely.
Age and gender equity in the arts. Are you going to write up, create like a code of conduct regarding the treatment of these kind of issues for women especially and for men too?
We will not. We, age and gender, will not be writing it. We really would want.
But you might want to get other people to write it, right?
Well, what we would like is at this stage, we really want to respect the individual missions of each theater, their uniquenesses. I feel that it's really up to the theater companies to look at how they're going to apply that or incorporate that into their system. We would like that to happen however is best for them. And I think starting with looking at the prototype that or the blueprint that Laura presented with the code of conduct
is a good place to
that
start.
Would be a
and it's
wonderful
online.
Place.
It's
absolutely
online. Yeah, that's a great place to start. I don't know if you agree with me, but seeing stage violence to me can have more of a trigger effect than watching a movie or a TV
totally.
Portrayal.
Yeah.
'Cause you're right there in the room
yes.
with
mm-hmm.
people. So I think this is an important issue for theaters to take a look at. I guess I'm really more worried about young theater artists that may not have a voice. You know, they want this job, right? They don't really want to speak out against anything, and they'll just try anything, right? So what can we do to, I guess that code of conduct would be one way to help potentially abusive situations, you know, especially for young artists. But I do worry about that because a lot of times, you know, that's how things happen.
Well, I would say that, yes, the code of conduct is a place to start, and then there needs to be regular, systematic opportunities for training and talking about it. It needs, the board of directors needs to be a part of this, bringing in experts like Kristen to talk about this. I think that there needs to be a regular policy. We are professionals, and we need to behave that way.
Do you think having more women in theater, because it's still not well represented
not
to have women
all.
In theater, do you think that would make the biggest change of
Absolutely.
All?
Absolutely. It's all about balance, a balance
more
of power. And there needs
and power.
To be.
Yeah.
Yes. And I agree with you about young artists, how important that is. However, really, every developmental stage has its own reasons why we stay silent. My generation, the baby boomers, we were groomed to stay silent, much more so than the younger generations who were raised very differently. And so even though all people, when they have less power, are silenced.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, and we could probably talk about this for 2 hours, but we basically don't have that time, and we're running out of it. But I want to give a final shout out for your free fight choreography workshops. It's July 2nd, 2:30, Laurelhurst Park, July 3rd, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, July 9th, 4 to 6 p.m. at Concordia University. And that one you have to sign up for. And what's the sign up for that?
Just email RC Dueling Community.
And we'll also I have that on stageandstudio.org. Jane, any upcoming shout-outs?
The biggest shout-out is March 3rd and 4th of next year. We're going to do an Unconscious Bias Achieving Gender Equity conference.
We'll keep us posted on
that.
So Jane Vogel and Kristen Munn, thank you for taking the time to talk about something that's not often discussed in the arts. And we did it today. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thank you, Janet Anderson, my engineer. If you missed any of this interview, hear it again at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter and studio. And till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts.